Hello, Belinda.
Hey, Omar.
Can't believe the year is wrapping up and just so much has unfolded in 2023.
Where did the year go? I feel like this year moved faster than previous years, and definitely it's getting me into a cozy up, bundle up, and reflect kind of mode.
Do you have snow yet in Shasta?
We just got our first snow December 1st, and it was this beautiful light dust of 1 inch, which was perfect. The trees looked amazing. We got that winter vibe, and then it melted.
And I'm sure you're happy for that.
Yes.
And you've been traveling a lot. Where have you been?
Yeah, well, it's been an interesting time this fall of journeying and learning from different community projects. I've been feeling this urge to do some visioning of the land and the community that we're building through the lens of communities that have been built over 40 to 50 years. So I got to visit a community in Northern Italy and another one in Finhorn, Scotland. And it was really cool to ask questions of the people that have been part of these two projects for years and imagine myself, what do I want to see 40 to 50 years from now? And it's interesting. It feels like we've been taking a longer pause to really reflect on these questions. And you too have been traveling. So it's interesting that we're kind of in the same flow of kind of adding new elements to look at and reflect on in our lives.
It's lots of travel. Came back from Peru and participating in sort of an indigenous ceremony, heading off to Mexico, the sort of Mayan Riviera. I'm actually going to be officiating a friend's wedding, which I'm very excited about. He's Sri Lankan, and so one day is sort of more of a Sri Lankan based ceremony, and the next one is more of a traditional one. So yeah, I feel like there's really reimagining ritual and community, and what are these like practices that we hold in our lives. And I think in our theme for today is really around walking down mountains, right? And I think so much of our culture, modern life, technology, sort of achievement orientation is like climbing mountains. And I feel like you and I have both really intentionally explored valleys, right? Like, what does it look like to not reach peaks, but really find the fertile land, right? Like farmland is found in valleys. That's where the rich soil is. And so, yeah, I'm excited to sort of explore what that looks like today.
Yeah. And it's interesting how hard it is sometimes to give ourselves permission to stop and then walk down, because there's so much of the world. I mean, I feel this tension really present right now. So much of the land and nature in this hemisphere is getting quiet, is getting ready for rest, is shedding. Mm. And then there's this internal pressure that I feel to finish all of these to-do lists and look back on goals that were not achieved. And it feels like such a extreme paradox. And that's a bit also, I think, of this metaphor of in your life. Like, when do you know that it's time to stop and pause and you're not on the right mountain? I feel like, Omar, you've talked about this a lot in your life of intentionally having to do that, and because of your values. Some people do it because they've had a major health crisis. But in your case, you were very aware of, okay, this is not aligned anymore. And so I'd love for you to share with our listeners who are kind of going through that in big and small ways of, how did you even like know, like, hey, this is a moment now to stop and go down?
I spent 20 years in finance and real estate, and it was really driven by this mantra of building the world I want to live in. And that was born out of, in some ways, the ashes of the 1992 civil unrest here in Los Angeles, where my political awareness was awakened and just realizing that democracy in cities are a lot more fragile than we realize. And so building the world I want to live in was sort of this idea of like, I've seen things fall apart. Mm-hmm. And I, one thing led to another, but ended up building both real estate, like affordable housing, mixed use development, then on the finance side and investing in projects, to then really culminating and bridging sort of my passion around nature and culture and people and place. And the LA River was this manifestation of that at 51 miles. And to like then build a company or an organization, a nonprofit, to really lead that sort of effort, to then getting to collaborate with Frank Gehry, you know, one of the most famous architects in the world, and getting to really reimagine the future of Los Angeles for the next 20 to 30 years. But in the course of that, sort of realizing like, oh, but I'm not the human being I want to be. Like, I'm very impatient. Like, everything is like now and urgent. And I had no sort of energy left for my family and my kids, my wife. And so I was like, well, if this is the top of the mountain, I'm not sure this is where I want to be. And that's really where then, I don't know if I found gratitude or gratitude found me.
Mm-hmm. I would love to just emphasize what you said, which is it was a feeling that it wasn't right, quite right. And I can really resonate with that too. There have been moments in my life where externally things looked great, but then I didn't feel good or I wasn't my best self. And I feel like that was your compass was, okay, if this is just going to be my life, that's not going to be okay. And how you showed up for yourself and the people in your life.
And it was really then after COVID and really seeing things fall apart even further, it was like, I don't actually want to go chase venture capital and like that energy of achievement. And this is where then you and I started really sort of collaborating and holding spaces in ways that were meeting people where they were suffering, right? Where there was difficulty. Like, I remember people calling in from like hospice and like calling because there was nowhere else to go in some ways. And so holding space for that energy.
While I was traveling, I was around in a circle with 100 other people and we were all kind of introducing ourselves. And I remember this one woman who probably was in her 60s said, you know, my mission in life right now is to die well. Mm. And I remember that we always hear about how we want to live well. Mm. We don't ever talk about how we want to die well. And in many ways, this metaphor of the mountain, navigating these cycles of life, it's like it is ultimately about that at the end, like all this practice that we're getting. And I remember, Omar, when we were talking about this episode and this theme, you had said that you came across another metaphor of four mountains. And for me, that really stuck in my mind, because how do we think about these stages of our lives and what we're actually preparing ourselves for, especially at the very end, right?
Yeah. So I'm reading right now Hospicing Modernity, which I highly, highly recommend. And it's really about reimagining modern life and maybe the end of modern life. If some people have talked about late stage capitalism, and the author, she really invites us to not just sort of jump to like, what's the next thing? Like I did, like I was trying to jump from one peak to the next. I was trying to skip the valley. And so she really invites, and she shares a story from the Cree tribe, and they teach, and the elders gave permission to share this story, which is there's four mountains. The first mountain is like the baby mountain. You're just sort of like learning to walk, right? It's that crawling to walking stage of life. And then the next mountain is the warrior mountain, right? And that's when we're filled with like fire and brimstone and we're just passion and you just like seize the mountain, right? Like it's got that sort of almost marine kind of mindset of like, let's take the mountain. But then she invites two other mountains. The next is really the hunter provider, right? Like, how do we actually get to a space of, it's not just about us and our own personal sort of ego or energy or of idea of things. And then the final is the elder mountain, which in some ways brings us full circle back to the baby mountain and like, how are we really holding space, of that sort of birth and death, the renewal. And the author really talks about how, in some ways, modern life is really just focused on the warrior mountain. We're stuck in the warrior mountain. We just constantly want to keep taking mountains. And that energy of just like move fast, break things, right? Like that mindset technology, I think in particular, sort of shows that like performance metrics, we can just optimize everything, right? And maybe, and this is the irony of sometimes like when technology is not working, what's the best thing to do is to unplug it and plug it back in and like reboot. But in our sort of optimizing everything mindset, right? Like, oh, I even remember talking to a friend recently who's like deep into spiritual practices in corporate environments, but she was concerned because like last thing she wants to do is like optimize spirituality, right? And that's, I think, the other sort of element is the transition that we're making is from mastery to depth, right? Mastery is achievement. It's accomplishing that goal. But depth is then found in the valleys, right? Like, where do we find, and we've had guests on our show, I'm thinking of the psychologist who talked about the shadow work. And where do we really sort of make room for all of these mountains in our lives and to recognize, like, when do you need to walk down a mountain to really then climb the next?
I think culturally we're looking for a new paradigm that is moving into wisdom and eldership. So many people I know in our community who are in their 60s are like, how do I prepare to be an elder to then eventually be an ancestor? It's not a given just because you lived a long life that you get that wisdom title. And so much of it is this practice. And I feel like that's what we also are holding space for with Gratitude Blooming is how do we create a different kind of culture around even how do we hold space?
Well, how about you, Belinda? I feel like part of hospicing modernity and a lot of the practices that I've been exploring have been grounded in nature. And nature not just as something that we observe as out there, but something within us. And in some ways, there's no separation. What have you learned about living at the foothills of a large mountain, being nestled into a canyon? How have these practices helped you walk down mountains? And what mountains have you walked down?
Wow. Well, I think to decide to be self-employed since 2009, it's, I think I, one thing I realized was the current the structure of modernity around how I want to live and make a living just wasn't working. And since then I've kind of been looking for ways, models to have that way, a way of life that really matches what I want to create in the world and also how I want to do it. And I dabbled with startup cultures, creating one, looking at Silicon Valley as a model. And it really was exhausting to constantly be trying to prove yourself. And for me, I remember going to these tech conferences and I'd be like one of a few women, and being Asian too, I just constantly felt out of place. Like it wasn't really for me. The coming down of the mountain was acknowledging like, it's okay to say that it's not for you and to walk away from that because you like it wasn't, it never felt right. But I think there was an ego part of me that wanted to be a part of that club because I felt excluded and I wanted to say, hey, look, I'm doing this thing and everyone, can't you see how great it is? And I really had to let go of external validation for a long period of time. I just really had to surrender that whatever I was doing, the things that have depth, like you can't see them right away. And so it takes this cultivation of going more inward and trusting that. And I think being with the cycles of nature over years now, we're now on our ninth year of stewarding the land in Mount Shasta. And I remember that being the medicine that every year I'd have to learn, and fall would always be the hardest time because I was holding on to so many things and wanting to see everything that I had wanted to create come into reality. And then I would see how the trees were just letting go of their leaves, and there wasn't that resistance of trying to do more and more and more just to like get the most out of the year, that internal recalibration that nature supported me with is what gives me the anchor and the conviction internally to keep doing what I'm doing in the way that I feel like is the most honest for me.
So I want you to unpack medicines a little bit more, because I feel like in the sort of modern life, we've conflated degrees with medicine, achievements with healing, right? Like, and we both went to Harvard. We both like played the game, and then walked away from the game, right? And but what is medicine? Like, what does that even really mean? Like, what's the difference between curing versus healing?
Yeah, I think immediately for me, medicine in the way that I feel it, and it's kind of channeling Arlene a bit too in how she sees her art, is this energy of healing and this energy of transformation and transmutation. You have to be super engaged with that internally and externally. And oftentimes we are meant to receive the medicine of our lives so that we can then give it into the world. So in many ways, it is the healing journey. Like, what is it that we need to deeply heal within ourselves that then affects how we show up in the world? And for me, I think my core wound, if I were to be totally honest, is this sense of not being worthy, like not being enough. Like, maybe there was something as an immigrant showing up all immediately in first grade, not belonging, not feeling like I knew what I was doing because I didn't know the language. Or maybe there was something with my relationship with my mother, the way that I saw that she didn't feel fully worthy. And I took that on. And so then it affected everything that I did till I really wanted to face that. And I think that's the deep spiritual medicine, right? Is like when you're willing to look at all the aspects of your life where that showed up and it wasn't serving. I think that for me is what that means. And I'm curious for you, how do you reflect on this now in this phase of your life?
Just want to acknowledge a couple of things that you shared first, which is just what I'm hearing is that healing versus curing is like transformation versus fixing.
Right? Yeah.
Like how do we not just like, because you can't ever go back to something. And so part of it is like, it's a false idea, right? It's a false promise. And so how do you actually transform, which is evolve? And then the evolution that you're talking about is like over generations, right? Like some of these traumas or challenges are ancestral, and the healing is not just within your own lifetime, but, you know, and science backs this up, like the epidemiological like changes like show up, right? Like if your ancestors two generations ago did not have enough food, that will show up in your genes and like how you approach eating. And so like the fixing mentality of dieting, right? Like, oh, I need to lose weight, achieve some sort of idea of what health looks like. But if you don't understand that maybe two generations ago there was not enough food in your family, and so your DNA is wired in a particular way, there's no fixing that, right? And like now there's, I don't even know, there's like some new drug that's supposed to help you with your diet and appetite. And it's just like modern sort of life wants you to just take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as opposed to like, what are those systemic or life things that are happening around you and support health in a very different way, right? Like, and I feel like that's sort of the transformation. Yeah, the three medicines that I've been sort of playing with really recently is this idea that gratitude, stories, and plants are my three medicines. And really this most recent trip to Peru, where I did a lot of singing and dancing, I realize I've been holding on to this metaphor of a bridge for a very long time, right? Growing up with a Chinese American family on my mom's side, a white family on my dad's side, but who converted to Islam, hence Omar. And so I've always felt like this bridge, right? Like trying to connect across cultures. And as I was dancing, I realized that like a bridge is too static. A bridge is too binary, right? Like it's just connecting two sides and itself doesn't actually get to transform. It's like just getting ridden across in some ways. And so I was like, well, I'm actually a dancer. Like I dance across cultures and I move across cultures. And I think the things that I've been moving with, particularly the last few years, is gratitude stories and plants. And really, like, how do I listen to gratitude as a place of being able to connect deep into my emotions and feelings and these very sometimes irrational things, right? As opposed to like, oh, this is the logic, linear sort of thinking that is right. Like, no, what are these wild emotions and how do I be present to them? And then also realizing I don't have to become all of them, right? Like I can sort of see the highs and the lows without experiencing necessarily the highs and lows. Just be like, whoa, look, these are the peaks and valleys. And then stories, I think, is really, what are the stories that we are telling ourselves? What is success? How do we measure success? What are the metaphors? Like, am I a bridge or am I a dancer? Like, how am I orienting in my life? I remember 2 years ago, oftentimes folks are like, what's the intersecting circles? And you try to find the one thing that like all things link to. And her career, she felt more like a braid, these threads. It wasn't about trying to find that one sort of thing that connected all the dots. And so I think the stories that we tell, like we're this Cree tribe, like there's four mountains, like, and these are not just metaphors as in stories, but this is actually life. Like we actually live our lives through these, not just ideas, but just ways of moving in the world. And then finally, I think with plants, it's just connecting back to this thing that's much bigger, like this life that's much bigger than we can even imagine. And we forget that in our, quote, sort of civilized lives in our cities and all these other things that try to conform and fix and structure everything.
Well, dancing sounds a lot more fun than trying to be a bridge. I mean, we got a bridge on our land across our creek, and the bridge, when I walk it, I hear sometimes the energy of it is like, oh God, I gotta be strong. I gotta hold these two sides together and make sure people can walk across without hurting themselves. So I just love that you are reframing that metaphor in a way that feels fun and dynamic. And yeah, it's bringing all the things together.
Even science shows that like, if you just practice something versus play with something, you're gonna learn way faster through play. And so, like, I feel like how we break out of some of these mechanistic sort of ideas into sort of more of these organic forms, like, this is this transition that we're sort of on the front ends of experiencing. And I feel like getting to be both mirrors and windows for, right? Like, we're getting to sort of reflect in real time. Like, that's what the third season of this podcast is all about, is like, this is our audio documentary of just like, hey, this is what we're learning. This is the edges of what we're experiencing from literally now around the world, right? Like, you and I are traveling and listening to all these different communities and getting to sort of share. And then that way we get to be these windows into these other ways of living.
Well, with that, I feel like it is now time to bring in the plants of gratitude blooming. And curious if there's an inquiry we should hold for ourselves and our community, Omar. And now we get to add the song to it. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm feeling just this open inquiry is like, how do we help teach people how to walk down mountains? A lot less fear, and like, how do we dance down mountains?
I like that.
Since we're talking about valleys, we should pick from the bottom.
I'm feeling this one here.
Number 12, the Indian paintbrush representing joy and presence. When you make time for stillness in the moment, what does joy feel like?
Nice Why? Exhale.
Yeah, nice exhale. It feels like a good exhale, right? Like, that's why the expression is waiting to exhale. Like, how do we just, we're so busy sometimes just holding our breath, like, oh, just the next thing and then I can relax, or the next thing and then everything will be all right, or the next thing. And it's just like, no, it's actually joy and presence. It's right now. Like, what are we present to, and like, how do we experience the joy? And like, this is the only card in the deck with a creature in it, and this beautiful hummingbird that's visited Arlene and her family, the hummingbird's family that's visited her. And it's just, how do we experience in the moment that infinite possibility, that joy that nature kind of brings, and dance with it? Mm-hmm. Like, how do we actually dance with the moment?
And I love that word, present. Presence, present. It feels like a gift. Like, how do we give ourselves this gift just in how we choose to take that pause, even when it's, things feel really crazy and out of control, especially this time of year. And I feel like when I watch the hummingbirds pollinate, they do look like they're dancing in air, mid-air. They're just kind of like playing.
I love that you brought in the word pollinate, because you look at the bird and the two flowers, it's an ecosystem, right? Like, joy and presence is actually acknowledging the ecosystem that you're part of, right? Like, a flower cannot pollinate without the birds. The birds want the nectar of the flowers. And I feel like that's also this sort of deep reminder, is that we're not alone, right? Like, gratitude is about reminding ourselves that we're part of something bigger. And so how do we pause? When you make time for stillness in the moment, what does joy feel like? And that just sort of like waiting to exhale. Mm-hmm. And I was actually just reading about I think it's a Thich Nhat Hanh meditation practice. And he says to start your breath with an exhale, not an inhale.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start your breath with an exhale, you start by giving, right? So instead of beginning, like sometimes breathing in and then breathing out, we start with an inhale, we're sort of taking. And so what does it look like to begin by giving a breath? And that's really been, I think I was recently in Bolinas for the Commonweal Fall Gathering, and just listening to this Cambodian filmmaker, I think I shared this before, it was just like breathing with the trees. And being in relationship that, like, I can breathe out and I'm like feeding the trees, and I can breathe in and the trees are feeding me.
And it literally is a gift that keeps on giving, because if we each feel that joy in that authentic way that the hummingbird does, or the paintbrush plant, I mean, that affects everyone else around us, right? It's like just this gift that keeps on giving. And so I love now that we have a ritual for season three of just the songs of the gratitude blooming plants. So Omar is going to pull up the song, and let's practice with an exhale first, before we listen to the song, to really just receive, give back to it and receive it.
Here is Joy and Presence, our collaboration with Ariel Lowe and Window Seat. Thank you.
I feel like I was dancing on air at towards the end of that song. And I honestly, I haven't noticed that shift in that song when it starts getting fluttery. I'm curious what joy and presence felt like for you, Omar.
I was just thinking about how excited I am for you and the community that you're building, that you're in year 9, you said, but like what's going to unfold in the next 30 to 40 years? And I know that you're already imagining Hestia across oceans and inviting different myth makers and storytellers and practitioners. And so, yeah, I'm just excited for all the seeds that you're planting.
Well, you just inspired me to dance a little bit in my heart. So I love that we have this space to inspire each other and hopefully transmit some of that to you all who are listening or watching. And yeah, please continue to listen to the music if it's healing, or pick your own cards to inspire you and guide you for coming down the mountain. And we have our great holiday deals this month, 20% off everything in our shop. And honestly, all of the purchases that come through just help us keep this podcast going. So really grateful to see the orders coming through this month and supporting this no ads, listener driven podcast that we're creating together.
Awesome. Thank you so much for helping us to co-create the world we want to live in. Cheers.